Get ready. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jace, your host.
And I'm Paul Henderson, your semi-regular guest-ish co-host.
And if you're joining us for the first time, this is the show where we get to know the gaming news of the week, and we get to know our guests. And it is episode 193 of the Weekly Cooldown, and it is June 16th. We are in the final weeks of Game Month, but we're gonna make it a good show, a nice showing in these final weeks.
And it's also the first day of summer.
Is it? The 16th?
Summer's... Oh, never mind. I'm sorry. I got it a week early. Never mind. June 21st. Ignore me. I don't know what I'm talking about.
June 20... I think it's June 21st.
Wow. I jumped the gun on that one. I really thought today was the first day of summer. No, also, days are still getting longer.
The longest day of the year, June 21st.
Yes. So summer solstice kicks off the proper summer season.
Mm-hmm. So it should be an interesting week going forward. It'll be Juneteenth. Right after the airing of this episode, I mean, it's probably if you're a weekend long celebrator, it's already Juneteenth for you. So congratulations, we're here. Hope you get a whole lot of celebrating in for Juneteenth. But we're here to talk about gay stuff, which can also be black stuff. But anyway, so as I've said a few times for the past two episodes, this is an extraordinarily different kind of year. For gay and trans people, usually these episodes are a little bit of A&B. We do a little bit of the kind of tough talk and a little bit of the celebration. This year will be no different. It may feel heavier because there is a lot more going on both in the United States and abroad. But we're going to do the best we can to, you know, navigate it together. Joining us this week... A fun guest I haven't had on in a very long time. Woo! Our friend JV, Jade Lila.
Hey. Hello. Oh, hey to the folks. Hi.
it's very island of you, and I love it.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. First, before we get into all the stuff, tell us who you are and what you do.
I am JV, aka Jade Violet. I do a lot of stuff IRL and less stuff on the internet, largely just due to work stuff, but I suppose I can sort of discuss a little bit of what I do for, like, not even my day job stuff. It's really the sort of extracurricular but in real life stuff that I think is most interesting at the moment. I am a voice actor. That is thing number one that is still on the internet. But I am also the president of an organization called Berkshire Stonewall, which is the local, one of the local queer organizations, but the one that has lasted the longest. It's been around for about 25 years.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. So you're going to be well-versed for this episode
that we're getting into. Yes, indeedy.
What are some projects you've worked on? Any recently that you can talk about before we jump into things?
Yeah, my favorite and longest ongoing project that I've been a part of, voice acting wise, is Creepy, the Creepy podcast. Mm-hmm. If you want to look for it, it's the one that has the trees in the logo. I am one of their narrators on there. I narrate often for stories that appear on their Patreon, but you can occasionally hear me on there during their sort of regular release episodes. I believe I have one coming up this upcoming Sunday.
Very cool. Very cool. Mm-hmm. Check out the Creepy Podcast.
Yeah.
Narrated by local legend JV.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Very cool. Have you been playing anything these past couple of months and or this week?
Oh, yes, I have. Oh, yes, I have.
What are you doing?
I have been playing Tears of the Kingdom every waking moment while not working on anything else.
Hell yeah, that's such a good game.
This game stresses me out.
Yeah.
But I love it. Like, it's the best kind of stressed out. It's a lot easier to be stressed out by this video game where occasionally you need to do very precise movements and you are not directed in any actual direction to anything that you need to do, which is extremely... That's the only thing for me that is frustrating about the game is that I do like being told where I'm supposed to go to complete something rather than in an open world situation.
Oh, yeah, no. Tears of the Kingdom is ADHD simulator. It's it really just encourages you to just buzz off and do your own thing and just get distracted. It wants you to get distracted.
Absolutely. Which is totally fine because I didn't actually play any plot-related things for the first, like, I don't know, 2 weeks of having the game. Mm-hmm. Which was
just running, exploring.
Yeah, hey, basically trying to unlock every one of the like fast travel points so that doing plot stuff would be a little bit faster.
That's basically what I do too. Yeah.
Yeah, and like I just like the visuals; they're really good. I have so much fun playing that game.
Have you been to the depths, and what do you think about them? I'll tell you what I think about them, but what do you think about them?
Okay, so this is, I have complicated feelings about them.
Okay, great.
The main complicated thing is that, like, while I think it is pretty cool that it exists overall, I kind of like some of the features, I don't like the gloom and how difficult it is to obtain anything to prevent the effects of the gloom.
Mm-hmm.
Like it makes it really difficult to do anything down there. So if there was something that made that easier, and I know there's like a gloom resistant armor or whatever, and I do have part of it. I don't have all of it though. So like I would like for that to be easier, or like if you anything that had more of a like a warmth or sunny type of effect to be more readily available. Like, I guess you can find them on the Sky Islands, but like that just, God, that takes a lot of time and you can't like just handle it like a farm simulator, which like
no,
if you could
cannot.
Do that, that would be great. Like,
you absolutely
yeah, just like
cannot
a little planter you could just go back to. That would be lovely, but... Yeah.
My only concern about the depths is that it is dark, and I'm scared. I'm scared all the time. I know that, like, there are no jump scares, but I'm like, something's gonna jump scare me.
There are a couple tricks to navigating the depths. I know one in particular, although some people may consider this a spoiler. I don't know how much I want to say necessarily, but if you guys want, I can provide you a very simple tip that can help you with navigating the depths.
Does it relate to me seeing things?
It relates to, like, the topography of the depths.
Okay, that's kind of what I'm after.
Okay.
It is so dark.
so, you may have realized that all the light roots in the depths are located approximately the same, are in the exact same places as shrines are. If you haven't realized that, then that is something that is a thing. However, what you may not have realized is that the depths is a full inversion of the overworld of Hyrule.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and I fully didn't notice that.
Yeah, no. It's super cool. Next time you hop into the depths, like, what you can do is if you go to the map and look at the overworld map instead of looking at the depths map and then close the map, the mini map will show the overworld instead of the depths, and you can actually navigate the topography of the depths by using the overworld map and just inverting it. So if you see hills that are going down in the, or if you see hills that are going up in the overworld, you know that there's going to be a valley coming up in the depths, and you can navigate it a little more easily that way.
That is helpful.
That is That is extremely helpful.
It's super cool too.
Definitely gonna keep throwing light bloom seeds or whatever until I can
see. Oh no, light bloom seeds are also super helpful. Another thing you can do is you can actually attach a light bloom seed to a vehicle and use that to light your way, and it'll give you significantly more vision than like a little lamp.
That's nice. I love being able to see.
Even in addition to that, if you like those lights, those light attachment things.
That drained my batteries.
Absolutely. Oh, the thing with that I didn't realize at all was the battery thing. You can go, like, I didn't realize that bit where you can go back up to that sort of first place that you were, the spot where you woke up. And there's a bot there, and if you give him a bunch of stuff, I forgot what you give him, but if you give him a bunch of stuff, you'll just be able to have a much longer battery life.
Yeah.
Child, I went this whole time not knowing.
No. Yeah, you've been running around with one AA battery, didn't know you could get another one.
Exactly.
You could go buy another battery.
Well, I wish I had known, because I was stocking up those, like, I was stocking up those little things, and I didn't know what they were for.
And then you went up to this robot who's like, yeah, sure, you can have another battery. What do you mean?
It's like,
of course you can have another one. You're my best friend here.
Take all of these batteries. It's great.
So funny. Yeah. I love how they kind of explain things in Zelda, in Tears of the Kingdom, but you'll still forget.
Oh, absolutely.
You'll still forget.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, this has been gay Tears of the Kingdom talk. It's not time.
One last little thing.
What do you got?
So you said no jump scares. I will say I did get jump scared by one of them dragons, though. I didn't know it was. I didn't realize that they, like, it was the not the light one, because that's a whole thing. I forgot which one it was, but I was at that, like, old man's house where you get, like, the sensor plus situation.
Yes, it's the ice one, I believe.
Yeah, and then I looked over at the water, and just there was just a dragon's head just popped up, and yep. I lost my mind because it was so close.
When you just shoot an arrow at it and take its horn.
I literally dropped my Nintendo Switch. I just dropped it. I'm like, okay, good.
So funny. Well, yes, gaze of the kingdom talk. Successfully navigated. We've learned that we can attach things to our vehicles to make lights. Dragons absolutely exist. And you can indeed buy more batteries.
Yes.
But the theme for this episode is trans gaming. So we're gonna dig into trans related issues, around gaming, and some celebrations of trans folks that have happened in the media recently. So before we begin, as I have said now for the past two episodes, and I said at the top of this episode, there are a lot of gay and trans issues being highlighted in the media, in our politics, so on and so forth. Specifically, it seems that a lot of folks like to use this idea that, first of all, there seems to be a quote-unquote, sudden appearance of trans folks, which is kind of wrong. And also that there is an indoctrination, right, of children. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later with a recent story that happened in gaming. But there's a lot of kind of misinformation, I don't want to call it pandering, but...
I would almost even say paranoia.
Yeah, a lot of strange paranoia and just nasty sentiments overall happening both in and outside of video games, around the country and around the world. First, I guess my first question for JV especially is, how do we navigate this in a healthy way, right? So it feels like every day, maybe you're on Twitter or Facebook or something like that, and despite your best efforts to curtail the information you're seeing or the content that you want to see on your specific social media, you're still going to see some negative sentiments. So what do we do? How do we do it?
Okay, so I am still stupidly on Twitter. I don't know why, but here we are. But the thing that I have found most helpful is to surround myself with people who, like, have... Well, for starters, I'll be honest, I don't, like, look at Twitter that often. I am on there, I'm on there at least once a day. Mm-hmm. But I don't look at it for, like, extended periods of time. I just find that that will depress me. No matter what I'm, like, doing or what I'm, like, trying to do, that will depress me. So I just try to not go there as often. And I got very, very, very good and speedy with the just either the mute button if it's somebody who is a mutual of mine or the block function because it's extremely, extremely useful.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I still, even though the report system does not actually work anymore because of Elon Musk and whatnot, I still use it relatively frequently because I just think that sometimes it's like so egregious that I just feel like if I didn't still use the report system that it would be I don't know, it sort of to not use it for that just feels like very, very stupid. Yeah. So mm-hmm. I go and I make sure that I still do that wherever possible, just so even if things like wound up changing in the future that like there was a record of these reports. Yeah. So yeah, I'll still use that system anyway.
You gotta at least try.
Just in case the system fixes itself. Yeah. But most of the time my recommendation is be able to spot where arguments completely fall apart. And also follow them to their logical end. That was my main, there's a almost weekly trans group in my area that meets, and one of the things I brought to the group at one point was this overall question of what is the end game and what is the point? Like, mm-hmm. What is the end game of anyone who is making an anti-trans argument? Because if you look at if you follow it to its logical end, it winds up being so transparent exactly what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually, spoiler alert, usually ends in fascism. So I don't know. That seems like a good little warning sign that it's probably a bad thing if it ends in fascism. So I don't know. Follow it to its logical end. Follow any sort of argument someone is making to its logical end, because what that tells us is that it can point out where someone is making an extremely bad faith argument. Also, don't rise to the bait. That is like a weird little language game.
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My advice is don't get drunk and fight with random people on Twitter at 2 a.m.
Sure. Yes.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yes.
Paul, is this you? Is this experience?
I'm calling myself out. It happened to me last week. I was getting moderately tipsy. It was either the weekend or like Friday or so. Yeah, it was the weekend. Sure. And I was just like, I'm just going to drink and play video games. And then I just like got in a fight with a bunch of homophobes on Twitter for like an hour, and then I just like looked at myself and was like, what the fuck am I doing? I deleted everything, blocked everybody, and was just like, I had a lapse in judgment. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I used to be way worse about it. I used to just, like, brawl with people constantly on Twitter, and it's just, like, it didn't accomplish anything. I didn't change any minds.
Right.
if it worked, it would be lovely, but it never does. Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I actually would like to go back to the idea of following something to its logical conclusion, right? So there has been, as most folks know by now, a lot of anti-trans sentiment coming out of the J.K. Rowling crowd, right? And there are Jo Rowling, as we call her, because I don't believe she likes to be called that. But she has a lot of people who have kind of picked up on her own "we're just asking questions" quote unquote style of you know, low-key saying, well, I'm not a transphobe, except you are, right? Because you're virtue signaling to the wrong crowd, right? It's not virtue signaling, it's dog whistling. And there are people who are being a little bit more outspoken about it, particularly going to rallies and holding these, like, you know, women's rights rallies disguised, obviously, as transphobic hate rallies or whatever, who are being joined by Nazis, right? Neo-Nazis, flying the Nazi flag, afraid to show their face, having hoods and masks on and all these things. And their argument for why they're there is that, well, they support me. It's not that they it's not that I support Nazis, it's that they support me. And where my brain goes, as you said, right, follow it to its logical conclusion, is that I don't even care if you do or don't support Nazis, right? What I care about is that you care enough about this issue that when you see a Nazi come up to you and say, "Hey, I think you're right, lady," you don't immediately go, "Oh, maybe this is a mistake, actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe this is wrong," right? Because there is a documented history of what it means to be a Nazi. And you truly are capable of putting that aside in favor of being hateful alongside them, something is wrong. Something is completely wrong there.
I've talked about in the past how this was in the context of, like, Twitch streaming and YouTube, but it also applies in the context of just broader fascism and people who are fascists and are fans of people, is that you curate your audience.
Yeah.
Your audience does not curate you. If you have changed yourself in a way that, or if you espouse ideologies, or you attract an audience that feels these things and has these opinions, there's a reason for that. These people don't just show up. You know, you can kick the Nazis out of your bar.
Yeah.
You sure can.
Absolutely.
You can surely leave the Nazis out of the movement. You can do that. That's absolutely a thing. I will own this. I lived through 2008. I have come out of things not having a great opinion, right? Like, I'm old enough to know that my opinions have evolved and changed over time. That's a normal thing that happens literally to everybody. It's impossible to be right about everything all of the time, especially when it comes to, like, knowing things, because, you know, learning is a great, wonderful thing. I do a lot of it on a regular basis. But whenever I looked at opinions I had and arguments that were being made, and I looked at who else was making a similar argument to mine, and if I looked at it and fundamentally was like, not these people, that's how I knew I was incorrect and changed what I, and or realized that something needed to change. Mm-hmm. And I'll even say that this happened around trans issues in general, which is hilarious because here I am, fully trans. but, like, that it happened with like trans issues in general. Like I didn't even at one point know what like trans people were, just like on a core level.
Mm-hmm.
And then my first exposure to trans people in media was a lot of transphobic humor.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that. Just a lot of that. And that did sort of seep in a little bit. And that did sort of, like, that did take hold a little bit. There's a bit of, I think, internalized transphobia in a lot of people that sort of is oftentimes directed, is a lot of times directed towards newer trans people.
Sure.
Or different types of trans people. One thing that I have always, that I have been working on since, like, starting to transition, has been to sort of keep those in check and make sure that when I'm looking at those moments, that I'm coming at them from the experience of, like, now I might be wrong, but this is a thought that I'm thinking, and then having people, if I'm thinking something that is incorrect, tell me that I'm completely incorrect about a thing. But generally speaking, that's because I'm open to knowing that I was going in a weird direction anyway. And knowing that, like, I didn't know something, and that it's also okay to not know things. It is absolutely fine to do that, but when you do realize that you don't know something, maybe don't make definitive statements on that thing. Potentially, if anyone is listening out here and is unsure about things, don't make a declarative statement until you're certain about something.
Mm, sure.
And even then, be open to the general thought of, like, oh, I might be wrong on this. Let me hear some other perspectives.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's a real easy thing to do. But again, if it is coming from somebody who seems like a fascist, be skeptical of...
At least.
Yeah.
Be
skeptical of the source of anything. That's the main thing. Be skeptical of the source. If the source is one that you fundamentally know that you don't agree with, maybe don't value their opinion over the opinions of people with lived experience.
Yeah. All right. There we go. Asked and answered. You also answered like three other questions I had. So we're going to move to the next part, which is a little more video game focused, right? So we spoke a few episodes ago, and I think a little last episode, about how we have a lot more representation, especially over the years, of gay, bisexual, and trans folks in video games, right? So they're... is a pretty exhaustive list of folks you can find who are in our video games, who are some letter of the LGBTQ community. But specifically with trans folks, I think, in my opinion anyway, that we are still looking for a little bit more. So that's my question there. First of all, are we making progress? Do we need to reevaluate some the way we approach these characters? Is there such thing as an ideal trans character, right? Like, what are we looking for in trans characters? Or are we just looking for a trans character? So please take it away. Would you answer these?
Okay. So this is one of those things that is complex. And the reason it's complex is because representation on its own, representation on its own is always complicated, but specifically with trans people, because at the moment, what it means to be trans, there's like, everyone is operating on different definitions of that because every human being is, in fact, different in the way that they, in the way that they are trans and have a lived experience of being trans. There are certain sort of smaller things that I think a lot of people share, but even those aren't necessarily all true for every single person, which, yeah. And I think because of all of that, it makes it difficult to get representation right, because, like, what would be ideal representation for me specifically mm-hmm. is absolutely going to look different to, say, a trans man. Yeah. That's going to be a completely different experience, like a wildly different experience. Like, I don't know. Like, I truly don't know what, in fact, it would look like. I sort of just say, go for it, as long as there's not, like, a weird trope that you're using.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a weird trope or even, like, weird language that sort of assumes, I don't know how to word it, but, like, a weird trope or, like, weird language that, like, focuses on specific details, right? Like, I wouldn't necessarily, for trans inclusion, I would not necessarily point to a feminine character and simply make a remark about them having a penis. That's not exactly a great, first of all, that's not helpful. I don't think that that's a helpful thing. And there's also not really a great way to work that into a story that makes any sense.
Right.
So narratively, I don't think there's really a way to do it. Narratively, I don't think it makes a lot of sense to, like, focus on trying to make it apparent and clear in a story unless you are doing so by potentially hiring a trans person to write that section of mm-hmm. story or to be involved in the storytelling process in that way, because there will be small lived experience things that other people will relate to from that. But that can also happen anyway around any type of storytelling and around any type of representation within storytelling.
Yeah.
Like, I think, I'm trying to think of an example. I don't know if I can think of an exact example of this within video games at the moment, but one other sort of example of, like, a thing that can be done for the game devs out there. Hi, here's a thing you could potentially do, which is simply hire a trans person to be the character. It sounds wild. I know it's very easy to do. A lot of us have microphones and free time. a lot of us have the ability to do this acting and do it well. And a lot of us are looking for work anyway. So maybe do that. And having that experience sort of inform the experience of that character. There have been some auditions I have done here and there that, like, even in just reading the lines out, I'm like, I don't know that this person fully understands what the hell is going on with the character that they've put here. And also, I will note that a lot of times it doesn't necessarily seem the most relevant to whatever story is being told.
Yeah.
Like, there may be moments where it sort of is an important thing to include narratively, but most of the time I don't think it does. If I was, say, thinking about, like, I don't know, thinking about The Last of Us as a game, if any of those characters were trans, I do not know where you would bring that up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because we absolutely have something else that we have to focus on. Like, I don't know, mushroom zombies trying to kill us. I feel like that is a much more important conversation in that moment to be having within the fiction of the game itself.
I can definitely say that right? aspect of it can depend on the game and just, yeah. like, the style. There are games out there that are far more character-driven, especially, like, RPG-type games. Mm-hmm. Think like, your Mass Effects or your Final Fantasies. Not to say that those games necessarily have good trans rep. God... notice they really don't, but I think at least from a format perspective, you can make it work. It's the writing that where it gets real tricky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Tell Me Why game, I think a lot of folks point to as one way of doing it, where it's just kind of slightly mentioned, right, between the character and his twin sister, where they point out that, you know, they were both female at one point, and now one is a man and the other is still a sister. and I think that is just it's a very quick thing, right? I think they like look at a picture from their family album or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then it's over. The rest of the game is about something else. So there's definitely like inroads, and I see what you're saying, where it's like kind of difficult to talk about or to mm-hmm. mention. But somehow some games make it happen.
Oh, absolutely.
The way Cyberpunk 2077 handles one of their transgender characters is just by showing you a bio that they have in the game system, not within like any kind of quest or anything itself. And they tell you the person's gender and, I believe, pronouns. And so it's just like a quick way of saying like, yeah, here's the person who goes by he, him, or she, her, or whatever. And it's like little things like that that I think can help, right? Maybe we don't necessarily need to put it into the story, but like some biography, right, within mm-hmm. the game system that allows us to say, oh, that's very cool that they included a trans character, I think can help push us in a direction that I think helps rather than hinders.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. I do completely agree with that. I think that, like, it is, I'm trying to think of the exact wording.
That,
I think
a lot of said, it...
Oh, yeah.
You brought up The Last of Us.
Mm-hmm.
There is a character in The Last of Us, I cannot remember their name, but I do remember people being a little upset about that character specifically because the way that they let you know that this is a trans character is by having them be misgendered and deadnamed throughout the game.
Yep. That is the thing that I was getting at with like things to not do.
Yeah. It feels like you said, it feels like there's a lot already going on in a game like The Last of Us, or in a story like The Last of Us.
Yeah. Monster.
To also have to deal with that it hits hard. It's pretty hard.
It does. And I think that like it's And the other thing is, like, there have been moments where, like, that does feel like an easy and quick way in a story to deal with that. But it's not a great way. And that's, I mm-hmm. guess, what I meant by, like, with tropes and whatnot. There's not, like, that's not a trope that's, a good or positive one, as it focuses too much on the past and giving validation to the past and the past identity of a person, which is not like that's not helpful. What is a lot more helpful is where this person is in the present
mm-hmm.
and knowing who that person is in the present.
It's certainly a choice, right?
Yeah.
To introduce it that way. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I know that the writers at The Last of Us, who I credit with being very good, right? People love that story. Mm-hmm. They took on that choice of making it that much more difficult for not only the character, but also for the player if they give a damn, you know what I mean? And it's a choice you either live with or you apologize for, right?
Exactly.
And I guess they just kind of went all in, and I don't think there were any apologies made for that kind of choice.
And I think there's another, I think also with, if you look at context and setting, There's another reason that like makes sense is that like when society at a certain point in time stalls out entirely because, you know, 90% of the planet is dead. Like progress becomes a thing that becomes, if not less likely to happen or more likely to happen, like is sort of determined a bit by the setting, and by whatever structure sort of makes the most sense. Like, I don't know. It's a lot. It's a lot to consider. And it's one of those reasons that like writing is difficult, that writing is a thing that is extremely valuable. And people handling things in a nuanced way is, that's part of the job. That's part of the job of writing and creating a universe, is that you take on difficult questions like that. And of course, not everyone is going to get it right. There's also the thing of like holding a bit of grace for people who get things, wrong. Like that's sort of, I think there has been a lot of like people getting up in arms because things have gone incorrectly because somebody made a genuine concerted effort to do something good. While on the one hand, like people can do good and harm can still happen. Like that's absolutely possible. It doesn't necessarily help to stay in that spot, to stay in the spot of like, this thing was incredibly harmful, and like, or this thing, not even incredible. Actually, I think there is an example of inclusion that was just directly harmful. I think The Last of Us was a good one. The other example I was thinking of is not actually a good example of, like, inclusion. It was actually just fundamentally bad because of the story itself. The person who benefited from that particular story and the character that was included being included last minute, almost seemingly in a way to placate people.
I see.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. For the listeners, dear, Hogwarts Legacy is what I was referring to.
Oh, absolutely. Got it.
Yeah, like, as a sort of, like, smokescreen of, like, oh, I'm going to put in this thing to make people stop screaming for a minute, only to then do so in a way that's, like, I'm going to make every bigoted thought I have about this character explicit in the creation of this character.
Yeah.
And I'm like, like, let's reserve our anger for situations like that where everything around it is also equally as bad. But remembering the context under which someone is trying to do something, I think, is always important. So I think, like, them tackling that character in The Last of Us, I would feel a lot better about it because of, like, the rest of that situation.
Sure.
And them having, like, plausible reasons for it being the way that it is. Though it does also answer a lot of, like, interesting questions, or, like, bring up some interesting questions in certain settings. Like, for example, within that particular universe, if this is a trans person who is, for example, on hormones and whatnot, as a trans person who is not on hormones and has no intention of ever being on them or doing any surgeries of any type at all, I still have that curiosity bit of, like, now I don't know how in a post-apocalyptic situation one would go about figuring out where your meds are coming from. But that is a fantastic potential storyline to include in a game for a trans character. Like, and that's a detail within the universe that you can figure out to include for that character that I feel like would be a lot more interesting and ask a lot more questions, like, and is plot-based, absolutely. But, like, when you think about the setting and you think about all these other things, what, like, asking yourself the question of, like, what is a thing that this person would have to do and have to figure out in this universe? Focus on that. Focus on that little story bit. And you've already, at that point, done a lot more representation-wise for that one character than a lot of other things that just sort of nominally throw in a character that is trans and then do nothing with it.
Sure.
Yeah. So, like, focusing it on, like, a question that would be specific to a trans person in any given universe, if that is a thing that they have to consider. I think it's a fascinating thing to do. I think that would work really well for that one in particular. I'm certain someone has written a fan fiction with that exact specific thing in mind. I'm not going to look for it because I don't personally feel the need to look that up, but I'm sure somebody has written it. And I think that would be fascinating to think about.
Yeah. Paul, any last thoughts?
I think the concept of, like, a person trying or a person writing in good faith is very important. I've talked about this the last time I was on the show with the previous Pride episode. There is a character that very famously was a female presenting character that was presented to be male for a very long time in a fighting game series called Guilty Gear. Mm-hmm. A character, of course, being Bridget. And that was, she was like the butt of a joke, basically, at the time when the character was created, back in the very early 2000s or late 90s. I can't remember exactly when Bridget was created, but, like, they kind of tried to do right by her in Strive, finally, by having her have a moment of self-actualization, which is a running theme throughout the Guilty Gear series, which is why it's so in place. It's not, like, pandering or out of nowhere. It is a series where the whole thing is discovering yourself and learning your true self, and having a character come to the end of their story and realize that they are a trans woman and not just a man dressed as a woman to try and prove themselves to their home village or whatever. It kind of feels like a bit of a redemption arc for the joke that she was created as initially. And I can't really say this myself as somebody who doesn't consider themselves to be trans, despite the fact that I use he, they pronouns. That's a whole other story that I don't need to get into right now. But for me personally, it's super interesting because Bridget is a character that is presented by the end of her story in Guilty Gear Strive as, hey, I am a trans woman now, or I am a woman now, is how she declares herself. I'm a girl. This last thing she says in her story. And then you have Testament, who just kind of rolls up in the stockings and gender nonconforming presentation and explicitly uses they, them pronouns. But, like, it isn't a part of their story. They just kind of show up and everybody rolls with it, which I think is also a very interesting way to present that. Because Testament, in the previous games, while they were still fairly androgynous, they were definitely male-coded, and I believe they used he, him pronouns at the time. And then with Strive, they came back and they femmed it up a bit. Not really. They non-binaried it up, but there's also a very feminine aspect to it.
Sure.
And switched over fully to using they, them pronouns. And then in Japanese, they're voiced by a woman, and in English, they are voiced by a trans woman who has a very wonderful deep voice.
Yes.
By the way, Kaylee McKee, if you don't know who that is, Kaylee McKee is a fantastic voice actress. She was one of my favorite voice actors in Hearthstone, actually. She voices my favorite character over there. And she has a range to die for. And the way they had her voice Testament is, it's so good.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just have a lot of thoughts about that.
Yes. That's one fun little thing about trans voice actors that I love a lot is that I don't know about for everybody, but what I do know is that being trans means that my range expanded, like, considerably. Mm-hmm. That's not the reason I've done any of this, duh. But what I will say is my range of ability to present has varied, it's like, significantly. And it is now, yeah. And it's now just the range that I can pull off. There's so much there. It's very fun. There's one other character that I had sort of thought about briefly because I watched it. That's one thing I do online constantly, and one of the other reasons that, like, I managed somehow to stay off of Twitter for extended periods of time, it's because I watch video essays every single day.
Okay.
Almost too many of them, if I'm being honest. It's fine. It's fine. I'm mentally stable. It's fine. Whatever. but there was an entire video essay about that one character from Mario.
Birdo.
Thank you. Yes, Birdo.
We spoke a little bit about Birdo on our first episode. Mm.
I like the journey of that character from that video essay that I found that just documented an it was so interesting because Mario's a game that I've been playing since I had my first console, which, if I recall correctly, was a Super Nintendo. Mm-hmm. So for this character that's just sort of been around for so very long and just thinking, oh, interesting. Okay. I never thought about this even once, but apparently this whole thing has just been going on just the whole time. I love that. I think that was a fun little video essay. I will see if I can remember where it went. Where it went. It's been in the same spot. I just don't remember where the link is. But if I'm able to find it, I'll send it over. I thought it was a very well handled one. But yeah, I think from that, I think there's the from what you said, Paul. There was the two ways of handling it, which is having one character have an entire personalized journey that hinges on self-discovery. And then there's the person who is already self-actualized and is just incredible. If there's a toss-up between the two, honestly, I usually prefer the latter to the former, just because I already know what at least one version of the journey to figuring out that one is trans, you know, I already have been on that journey, meaning that particular part of the story is not for me. The part of the story that I am much more drawn to is the just person who is radically themselves when they show up to a situation. I much prefer that because I've already seen that other bit. That's sort of that's one of the things, at least in a lot of media that depicts trans people at the moment, and a lot of things that have depicted queer people sort of as a larger whole for years has been the stories of, like, for example, coming out of the closet. Those are not for queer people. That's not actually who that's for, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's for the people who don't have that experience already. That's for the people who don't know what that's like so that they can get an empathetic view of what that's like, which is important. I'm not going to sit here and say that that's not important. That is wildly important for people in developing empathy, is seeing those stories reflected. So that's wonderful. And it also is helpful for people who have not yet realized these things for themselves. That's all well and fine. However, the next step still needs to happen. The next step of, there are people for whom they've already done that part, and now they're just living their lives. So not everything. So yeah, that bit of, like, this person is now just allowed to exist and allowed to continue existing, and occasionally makes the situation considerably more fabulous. Incredible. I love that. That's what I like to see. Mm-hmm. I'm aware that we have to have that first bit, but that second bit is real fun. There are some fun things that can happen there. I also love just fluid, just people being allowed to be fluid in their expression wherever possible. I just think that that's really fun. It's just a fun time.
Yeah. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we did have one last story, but I think I've had enough of rehashing people's bigotry. And instead, I want to move on to Celebration. So we actually had the Tony Awards just pass this week. And we had two non-binary actors, both win for their roles in their respective musicals. I can't remember what they are. But we did have two of them win. Jay Harrison Gee won, and also Alex Newell won.
Yes, Alex Newell, come through. Yes.
And I just, this is maybe a tangent for myself, but I wonder when the Game Awards, I hope you're listening. What's your name? What's the guy's name again? We all know the
Jeffrey Keighley.
Jeffrey.
Listen up,
Jeffrey. Jeff. Put some gay and trans folks on the stage, homie. That's all I'm saying. So anyway, I think that's for everyone, actually, because it's a voted system, right? So, like, you know, nominate some gay trans folks, put them on the stage. God bless.
Yes.
To that end, let's celebrate some gay and trans folks that we, or at least trans folks, right? That we know that we need to uplift right here, right now. So let's start, JV. Who you got?
All right. Trans people I want to uplift in general. Well, I want to give a shout out to a person who every time I see them on anything, it makes me so happy. And they do Twitch streams a lot, but it's Persephone Valentine, aka Persephoroth, on all social. I love her so much. Her humor is incredible. I just follow one of the best follows on Twitter. So just if you get a second, go over to Twitter. But also if you have heard of her, it might be because she's been on Dimension 20 several times, which is that's not where I know her from. I just knew her in general, but seeing her on Dimension 20 has been absolutely incredible. I appreciate her ability to craft a character and then stay in that character. So I always like to give her a shout out because I just think she's great. But yeah, that's I guess one person that I want to shout out. I think her Twitch handle is also Persephoroth. I might be wrong on that, but if you go to her Twitter, it will definitely be on there.
Yeah. Paul, who's on your mind?
Katie May. There is a streamer who goes by the name Katie May, formerly Orchestra. And she is a speedrunner who is currently focused on Tears of the Kingdom. She's an acquaintance of mine, somewhere between acquaintance and friend, that awkward little middle zone, if you know what I'm talking about. And she fucking rules. Go watch her shit.
Hell yeah.
She's so good at speedrunning.
Very good.
She was one of the best Breath of the Wild speedrunners for a while, and now she's one of the best Tears of the Kingdom speedrunners. She's been to tons of like games and quick events. Yeah, she's super, super cool.
Very cool. Very
nice.
Cool. I am going to shout out, oh man, I hope I say their last name right, Ty Gallus Rowe. Ty Gallus Rowe is a trans video game journalist, the editor-in-chief of Uppercut Crit. Uppercutcrit.gay is where you'll find that. They actually reached out to me during Black History Month, and I got to write for them about one of my favorite games, which is why is the name out of my head all of a sudden? Favorite game, Mafia 3, and why people should play it, especially regarding Black issues. But Ty Gallus Rowe is a really great writer, a very cool video gamer, is constantly writing in almost every publication I can see their byline. And I really, really enjoy following them. We almost have the same birthday. just a fantastic, fantastic writer, and is just looking so happy lately. And I really appreciate seeing them out and about doing their thing and representing for us all in a way.
Yes.
Oh, also His Twitter handle is real funny. Owoth Keeper. So O-W-O-A-T-H Keeper. Owoth Keeper. And I think that is just brilliant. Brilliant as a thing. Also check out Uppercut Crit on Twitter as well. Uppercut Crit. Uppercut. C-R-I-T. And yeah. So that's basically it for this episode. To close us out, can you give us a gaming recommendation, JV?
Okay. So this one is a weird one because I just started it.
Okay.
So you remember how like Pokemon Go came out years ago and that was like a weird thing I guess people still play it or whatever. They just dropped a new game kind of recently. I only found it because I had subscribed to their email list, to the company's email list, Niantic, I believe. I might have pronounced that wrong. Whatever. So they just dropped one that I believe is called Peridot. I think this one is geared towards slightly younger children. However, it is almost the same type of game, but the creatures are not actually Pokemon. They're just small little cute beings.
I've seen this. Yeah. I was actually wondering what people were talking about, and I just saw it recently again. I was like, what is this game?
I love it. It's so cute. It is literally just Pokemon Go. It is simply Pokemon Go, but different little small characters that you can. I think you can get more of them. This current moment, I only have the one because I just started playing it if I'm being real, I started playing it a few hours ago. Mm-hmm. But my little dude's got a pride bandana, which currently, if you get the game now, you can get a little pride bandana for free. And you just gotta pet them. You pet them, and it makes them happy, and then you feed them. It's giving Tamagotchi.
Tamagotchi capture.
It is giving Tamagotchi, I adore it very, very much. You can also play fetch with them, which is also very fun.
Okay. True AR game in every aspect.
What was exactly. It called?
Peridot. Peridot.
Peridot, yeah.
Like the jewel or the rock.
Exactly.
Peridot.
Yes.
Interesting name for a video game. Paul, what do you got?
Go play Street Fighter. Street Fighter 6 out. Go play Street Fighter. Street Fighter. Street Fighter. Street Fighter 6. Yes. Hit the streets.
Hit the streets. Hit the streets. Hit the streets. I'm going to actually...
Hit the streets.
I'm actually going to say play Street Fighter as well.
Yeah.
Simply because I am back on my fighting... I'm getting back into my competitive game era.
You sure are. It
seems to kind of come and go. And so I'm getting back into...
I told him about my Honda yesterday.
Yeah, well... We don't have to talk about that.
No. I think we do. I think we need to talk about how I completely rinsed you last night.
Okay. Well, ooh. Listen.
Now listen.
I'm good at fighting games when the next round of fighting games comes out. So when like Tekken 8 is ready to come out and everyone's into that, I'll be very good at Street Fighter 6. And I hope that you will join me in hopefully losing to me by then. But yeah, go play Street Fighter 6. It actually is a lot of fun. If you like character creators, there is something for you in there. Go give it a try. And finally, to finish off this episode, JV, please let us know where we can find you on the internet. And if you have anything else to plug.
Yeah, you can find me at redblackgolden, REDBLAQUE, golden, spelled exactly like the color. You can find me there on all social media because I have a brand. I have Excellent. A brand. I have good branding. Yes. find me on all of those. I am just out here doing several things and maybe remembering to post photos of me doing them. If I can remember to do that.
It's hard.
Depending on what you like to see, if you like to see fun little TikToks where I go from looking vaguely masculine to the hottest girl you've ever seen. Feel free to look at TikTok and Instagram.
That's how that works. Perfect. Paul, what do you got?
You can find me over at Paul's Rockin' Twit over on Twitter, as always. If you're interested in more work-adjacent stuff, we're going to talk about game dev and QA, and I try to pretend that I talk about QA and game dev there. You can find me over at Paul's Workin' Twit over on Twitter. I'm also on Mastodon over at shrike.club/@PaulsRockinMastodon, now spelled correctly. And finally, you can find me over on Twitch, where I might be streaming Street Fighter some more soon. Who knows? That might be a thing. So you can find me over at twitch.tv/bonzi77, BONZI77.
Awesome. All right. As always, you can find me at KamiJace Gaming on Twitter, and you can, of course, find the Weekly Cooldown as well on Twitter at WKCooldown. Be sure to visit the Weekly Cooldown Facebook page. Visit WKCooldown.com for more news and other
episodes. I like that you read it anyway.
Also find me on Twitch as well at KamiJace Gaming on Twitch. Be sure to leave a review for the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser or Spotify. Remember, it helps the show grow when you do so. Rhyming. Be sure to check out the links in the description, including, of course, our Humble Bundle for this week. And remember that you can support your favorite charities and support this show. Our logo and art is done by Corgian. Follow Doghouse Corgian on Twitter. DoghusCorgian. Man, I'm messing up today. Doghouse Corgian on Twitter. Our intro music is done by Riki. Find Riki on Twitter at dog_noise. DOG_NOISE. That's all for the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jace.
I'm Paul. Hey, you're pretty photogenic, Henderson.
Oh my god.
And I'm JVAK, Jade Violet.
And we'll see.
The prettiest.
Hell yeah.
See you next week. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.